Well, it's the fourth Sunday of Easter, so a herd of sheep are roaming around our readings this morning. Each year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, we hear from John chapter 10, from the discourse in which Jesus describes himself as the Good Shepherd. And usually there's a complement of other sheepish readings included. We get three such readings today. And as I was considering the shepherd and the sheep, I realized that last Sunday we also heard about sheep. You might remember that in the reading from John 21, we heard Jesus instruct Peter to live out his faith and his love for Jesus by feeding his sheep. Three times Jesus gave this instruction in a moment of redemption for the one who had denied him. This morning, it seems to me that most of us would rather have Jesus say to us, "Feed my sheep," like we heard last week, than to hear, "Be my sheep," which is what we get today. "Be my sheep" is Jesus' instruction to us. And it's not that appealing. Stupid, smelly, impulsive, weak, and vulnerable sheep. That's what God calls us to be this morning. While last week's instructions empower us and give us something to do, today's instructions give us something to be and remind us that we aren't that much at all, really. Just sheep who belong to Jesus and who hopefully hear his voice. The image of the sheep is a lowly one, and we can all agree on that. But in today's gospel, the image of the shepherd is something a bit more complicated. At the beginning of John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep." I've always thought of the shepherd as a lowly image. In some places, like in Luke's nativity, the shepherd seems to be a kind of bachelor farmer, everyday guy, not one who thinks himself above everyone else, and a kind and pastoral figure. The shepherd is associated with the nativity in Luke's gospel to show the lowliness of that birth, to show the magnitude of God's incarnation, just how human God can become. But sometimes in Scripture, kings and rulers are also called shepherds. The prophets write extensively about the kings of Israel as either wise and faithful shepherds or as negligent ones who make their flocks vulnerable to their enemies. And if shepherds are sometimes kings and rulers, then the exchange between Jesus and the Jews in this morning's gospel becomes a little bit more understandable. Jesus talks about being a shepherd, and they wonder, "Are you the Messiah?" They come to Jesus and demand that he tells them plainly, but he refuses to do so. Reading this text today, so many years later, and with the benefit of knowing the rest of the story, I'm still not sure whether Jesus employs this image in order to proclaim himself a king. Perhaps it's a symbol of the power given to him by God, or perhaps it's an image of human compassion. But either way, the shepherd is ubiquitous, not only in the imagery of the Bible, but in the daily lives of those who would have first heard this story. But perhaps more important than that, the shepherd is also ubiquitous in the lives of the sheep, whether or not they realize it. The shepherd is always within earshot, ready to be called upon or to call out to us. As a sheep living on a hillside, it seems like it would be easy to hear the voice of the shepherd. What competition would there be for our ears? The breeze on the grass or the bleats of our fellow livestock? But when Jesus says, the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, it seems more complicated for us. The shepherd's voice doesn't seem so at hand for us in our daily lives. The shepherd's voice is often drowned out by so many other voices. Even when we remember to listen for the voice of God, we get distracted. Distracted by the voices of easy joy and happiness in our world. Distracted by the voices of fear and despair. Distracted by the voices of expectations. Even voices that are supposed to instruct us on how to be closer to God, our shepherd, sometimes distract us from God. Voices that ask us if we've had a particular religious experience or if we maintain enough faithful habits. The voices that nag us to figure out the right doctrine or live out a perfect morality. We think that if we do these things, then we'll be able to hear that voice, and that we will be one of the fold, one of God's sheep. But if we do manage to hear the voice of the shepherd, what does it even say to us? The voice of the good shepherd doesn't magnify the din of the world's fears or unmet expectations. And the voice of the good shepherd doesn't praise us for when we've been good or instruct us in ways that we can improve. The voice of the good shepherd does something else. It tells us that everything depends on belonging to him. Never does our status before God depend on how we feel or having the right experience or being free from doubt or on what we accomplish. It depends on just one thing, that we are known by the Good Shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, Jesus says. The voice of the Good Shepherd is a voice that liberates rather than oppresses. It does not say, do this, and then you'll be my sheep. It says, you already belong to me. No one can snatch you out of my hand. This voice, this loving, liberating voice, can be almost impossible to find amid the din of the world around us. This year at Campus Ministry, our first cohort of Faith and Vocation Fellows gathered together on Sunday afternoons. These four young men and women came from their time serving in different places, like Addison did here at Luther Memorial, and then gathered together to begin each week's meeting in the same way. We practiced a little spiritual exercise, first created by St. Ignatius of Loyola, called the Examen. When St. Ignatius described the exercise, he gave instructions to think back over the previous day or week, looking for the places of God's presence, and also identifying the places where we wished that God would have revealed God's self. St. Ignatius uses the image of a rake, that we rake through the soil of our lives, searching for experiences or objects of significance. I have to admit that in the beginning of the year, when we attempted this exercise, it fell a little bit flat. For one thing, none of us, including me, was all that attuned to the presence of God in our daily lives and of naming that to other people. For another thing, we didn't know one another very well, and we struggled to be honest and vulnerable with one another. I have to admit, for the first few weeks, the exercise felt a little bit like sharing highs and lows at a middle school youth group. We talked about our lives, but in a pretty superficial way. I noticed God's presence this week when I got a good grade on an exam. I wanted God to be a little bit more present when I got in a fight with my roommate. But as the year went on, it seemed like the character of our reflections changed a little bit. We noticed God a little bit more and in more complex ways. We noticed God's presence not only when we were feeling good and joyful, but also in moments of struggle. We wanted God's presence not only in the bad things in our lives, but in the things that the world told us would give us happiness, but didn't quite make it. In short, together, we heard God's voice just a little bit more clearly. And we were able to realize that God's voice stretches beyond our own voices. That the voice of Christ is a voice that proclaims God's presence and God's unfailing love, not just when we are good or when good things happen, but in the midst of our lives. This presence of God, this unfailing love, is what our ancestors have proclaimed of God in so many ways throughout so many generations. It's the reason that our scriptures are full of stories of folks trying to run away from the world and run away from God, but who over and over again are found by the one who created and loves them. It seems to me that today's psalm, the 23rd, is so deeply beloved because it describes that reality which Jesus speaks of in today's gospel. You are mine. I know you. No one can take you away from me. In the words of the psalmist, it's proclaimed that the shepherd ventures with us throughout all of life. In the midst of turmoil and darkness, when our enemies seem close at hand, beside the still waters where we can be refreshed, at a feast of abundance, God is always there, if only we can notice. At its end, the psalm proclaims a simple but profound truth. God's goodness and mercy will pursue us through everything. We are God's. Nothing can snatch us out of God's hand, even if we are just stupid, smelly, vulnerable sheep. Thanks be to God. Amen.